Let's open our Bibles, James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Last week we had a great study by Patrick talking about the true riches and all that glitters isn't gold. You know, we think it's all about the stuff and everything. And James was saying, listen, you people that have all this stuff, you can either weep and mourn and wail, because that's not really what it's all about. The stuff that we have isn't going to last. You know, I love that picture that he put up on the board about, you know, from the junkyard where the cars were all stacked on top of each other, all smashed. I mean, you know, we love our cars, right? But they're going to end up just like that, just in the junkyard somewhere, all smashed to pieces. Only one life will soon be passed, the missionary C.T. Studd said. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's what matters, the important things. I found this passage in Proverbs as well that made me think about this subject and his message. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. It's interesting. Maybe that's why Jesus prayed, you know, taught us to pray, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, we think we need everything for all, you know. Let's worry about today. Let's worry about what we need today. Let's have our hearts right today. So today I promised you we're going to talk about patience, because it's a big subject. And how many of you are just super patient people? I got one. Two. Super patient people. It's amazing. You can leave now. You don't need this. You know, I want to make this connection, and I hope it makes some sense as we go on, that this the connection between patience and trust, because I believe there is a big connection between patience and our trust in God. Matthew Henry, that great preacher, he said this. He said, he didn't say that. I said that. How do we have patience? We have it by trusting in God and the bigger picture. Matthew Henry said this about trust: humble acquiescence to the wisdom and the will of God. Humble acquiescence. That means we surrender to the wisdom and the will of God. James chapter 5, let's read the verses there, verses 7 through 9 we're going to look at today. He says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged, and the judge is standing at the door. This whole thing of patience, you know, besides those three or so that were here, you know, that don't have this problem, I think it's something that is, it's just hard to be patient. It's hard in our society. It's hard in our flesh. The sinful nature, we just don't want to be patient. A couple definitions. One is this: the ability to endure difficult or undesired circumstances. The capacity, and I like this, the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset or getting even. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering. We just don't want to. Don't make me wait. The Greek word is this word makrothumeo, and macro, of course, meaning big, and it literally means to be of long spirit and to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortune and trouble, to be of long spirit, that we're gonna just go, we're gonna persevere. Now he says here, be patient then, brothers, and that includes sisters as well. So he's speaking to who? To us, believers, right? To you and to me. He's saying, be patient. And James, you know, James doesn't just, you know, use a lot of words for no reason at all. He uses them purposefully. And these words are for you and I. He wants me to be patient. You know, I realized how wound up I can get about everything. How impatient that I can be. How, you know, I need to slow down and wait and be patient. And that's not an easy thing to do. You know, we're raised, we can't even be patient for 1 minute. You know, we're the society we live in, right? It's all about fast, right? It's all about fast. It's an instant society. We love fast food, right? Some of you had fast food on the way here, and when you leave, you're going to go get some more fast food. Fast food means that you get it, like, quick. And if you have to wait in that line more than, like, 2 or 3 minutes, like, you start to freak out. We want fast delivery, right? Why do you think Amazon is like, the billionaire industry that it is? Because they promise they're going to get that to you sometimes even today. If you order now, some things they'll get you tonight. And you go, wow, I want that. I don't care. Because I want it and I want it now. Computers have got to be fast. You know, if your phone, you know, if it's taking too long. Does anybody remember dial-up? And now, like, what? It's loading. Like, I want it now. It's got to be right now. Fast driving. You got to drive fast. I was over on Cohasset the other day, and the speed limit is like, there's one section that's 20, right? But nobody ever goes 20 on that pass, on that section. But this guy in front of me was doing like between 18 and 20. Now, I'm going, okay. I felt like it was just like way too slow. But there was a guy behind me now. Uh-oh. And this guy behind me, he's like a NASCAR driver, he thought he was. And you know how NASCAR, when they're warming up their tires, they're doing this thing? They warm up their tires so the tires stay warm and they'll grip better or whatever. This guy was doing that behind me. Because we weren't going fast enough. And so he's back there doing this, you know, behind me and like really close. And then he starts honking. I'm going like, what do you want me to do? And so we get up to a turn and that slow car pulls off. And guess what? He had to follow him. So then I thought, it's what you get, buddy. You know, we are so impatient. We want it. We want it now. It's just who we are. You know, you think of Galatians, right? The fruit of the Spirit. You some of you have memorized, though, you know, love, joy, peace, patience. Patience is number 4. It's way up there. It's, you know, of the fruits of the Spirit. When you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right, we call that what? The love chapter, right? When he starts to define love, the first thing he says is love is patient. The first thing. Love is patient. We know we're called to love one another. We're called to love and but he says the first thing he says, love is patient. Man. So first of all, we see that it's a fruit of the Spirit, so we need to get it from God. How do we get this patience that the Bible talks about? That James is telling us, be patient. You, me, be patient. So you've heard people talk about this, you know, how do we get patience? And the worst prayer that you can pray is, God, give me patience. Why? Because then he's going to send you all kinds of trials so that you learn patience, right? Because there's scriptures that say, you know, when you persevere, you learn patience through those trials that you go through. But the truth is, we need to pray for patience because it's a fruit of God's Spirit. So we need to ask him for it. We have to, or you're not going to get it. If you just think, you know, that, you know, you can just throw your fits. You see it in children, but you know what? Adults do it too. You kids, you know, they want what they want, and they just throw that fit, you know. But adults, I've seen us, you know, and I've done it myself. We throw our fits, you know. They just look a little bit different. They look more ridiculous. Trust in God. Have our eyes on him. A focus, you know, the focus has got to be not on, you know, this thing that I'm going through, that it's not going fast enough, that I can't have it. Our focus needs to be on God. Trust in God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. James tells us, how long should we do that, right? What does he say there in verse 7? He says, be patient then, brothers, when? How long? How long do I have to be patient? Oh, just a day or two. You'll be okay. Right? Well, how long does he say? What does he say there? Don't look at me. Look at the passage. What does it say? Until the coming of the Lord. Until his coming. That's how long we need to be patient. So when is that? We don't know when that is. So we need to be patient until then. Be patient until the Lord's coming. He's going to return. He's promised to return, right? Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. There's an eagerness there, but there's this waiting. There's this patience. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to have to work in us. He's going to have to work in me to give me patience because I don't have it. I don't have the patience that I need. He talks there about a spiritual gift, and I've mentioned already the fruit of the Spirit, the spiritual ability to be patient, to be different. You say, well, I'll never be any different. Oh, yeah, you will. You can. If you, like Matthew Henry said, if you acquiesce, you surrender to the wisdom and the will of God, you can be different. Paul talks about this blessed hope, you know, Titus 2:13, you know, the blessed hope, the return of our Savior Jesus. That's the only way we can have any kind of semblance of patience and survival in this life, in this world, and all the stuff that we face is keeping our eyes on the sky. Like, this isn't all there is. Focusing on all of our troubles and problems, that doesn't make it any better. Someone said this, at that time, God is going to make things right. That's when it's all going to be made right. Now, some of you are asking, you know, this isn't a message about the Lord's return, but some of you are saying, well, what's he referring to? And one commentator said this, the rapture or Christ coming to reign, because they're both talked about in Scripture. And he said this, both are used in the New Testament as incentives to patient endurance. The fact is that there's something going to happen and we need to look for him. And that should affect the way we live here today with the people around us. Because patience, as we'll see in verse 9, patience or impatience affects how we treat other people and how we function. Right? The example he gives here in verse 7, he says, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. He talks about this example of the farmer, and Greg is a farmer, right? These, I want you to notice these beautiful plants here. And someone said, where did you get those? He said, I grew them. And he grew them from seeds, I reckon, right?
Seeds and tubers.
Seeds and tubers. Okay. But you know, when you plant seeds, and the farmer knows about this, you plant the seed, but you're not going to get the harvest tomorrow. I guess there are some plants that you know, they sprout and they grow extremely fast, but that's not usually the case, right? You plant the seed and it takes a while, it takes time. But the farmer, as David Guzik said, he doesn't give up. He keeps working even when he can't see the crop. He stays busy. So patience requires this idea of waiting, right? We have to wait. Your favorite place is the waiting room, right? At the hospital. The waiting room. You know, you're waiting for your order. You're waiting for this. And we start to get wound up. We start to get, you know, our temperature starts going up. We start to sweat. We just hate to wait, but that's part of it is. The farmer, it says that he waits. He waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. Patience requires us to wait. We don't like to wait, but that's where the fruit is going to come from. That's where the harvest, this valuable crop, this precious fruit, the fruit of patience, it'll come. It says that he's patient when he's waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. That's kind of interesting. He's talking here about, you know, in the land there, you know, there were different times that were like the rainy seasons. There was the autumn rains, and then there was the spring rains, the early and the latter rains. But they were like seasons. And you know, we don't like to wait, but, you know, we do need to wait sometimes. We need to wait for the right season, the right time. You know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he says, to everything there is a season, and to every purpose, a time to every purpose under the heaven. To everything there's a season. If we understand and we're trusting in God, well, what's the right time? James is talking here about the autumn and the spring rains that come. If we understand there's a right time and there's not a time, can we wait? Can we trust God for His timing? For the autumn, for the spring rains. Jeremiah the prophet, he talked about it. He says, but these people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They've turned aside and gone away. Again, this is like impatience. They do not say to themselves, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives the autumn and the spring rains in season, and who assures us of the regular weeks of harvest. The regular weeks of harvest. You know, this is like a picture of impatience. They don't say, hey, let's fear the Lord. God's going to do it. He's going to give us the rains. The rains will come in His timing. The harvest will come in His timing. Sometimes again, he's talking about stubborn, rebellious hearts. Sometimes we, you know, like we want to get out there and make it happen. Have you ever tried that? You're so tired of waiting. Well, I'm just going to get in there and I'm going to make it happen right now. And I call that striving. How does that work out for us usually? I'm not talking about staying busy. We'll talk about that in a minute. But when we get in there and try to force things to happen and make things happen quicker, and we, you know, we're just so impatient. Hosea, the prophet, said this: let us acknowledge the Lord. Again, this is faith. This is trust. Let us press on to acknowledge Him. As surely as the sun rises, He will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. He will come. Let us trust in Him. Let us look to Him. Let us acknowledge Yahweh. Let us put our eyes on Him. That's what's going to give us patience. One more on this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." That's patience. The harvest will come, but don't give up. Don't quit. Don't you know, end it too early. The harvest will come. Back to James chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "You too." He says it again, "Be patient then, brothers." And he says, "You too, like the farmer, you too be patient and stand firm. You too be patient and stand firm." Some of the manuscripts, they say this, "Establish your hearts." It's a heart thing. Impatience is a heart thing. Be patient and stand firm. Establish your heart. Let's get our hearts in the right direction. Psalm 27 says, "Wait patiently for the Lord." Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord, for Yahweh. Wait for Him. Look to Him. Be brave and courageous. Establish your hearts. Why? Because He says the Lord's coming is near. The Lord's coming is near. We can be like those people that Peter talked about, and he said, you know, they say, "Well, you know, we don't see it. He said He was going to come like soon, but you know, it's already been like 10 minutes." That's us. That's not Peter, but it's already been a while, but what did Peter say? And this is really important. Peter said, you know, it's the patience of the Lord. Why? So that people could come to repentance. So the time would be left for them to come. But He will come, and we need to stand firm because His coming is near. We have to realize that it is imminent, and we have to trust Him and look for Him. Because He will keep His word, like Hosea said. He will do it. He's going to keep His promise. There have been people through the years, they would go, and because of these kinds of thoughts, they would go and sit up on a mountaintop, right? Just waiting. Not doing anything. But God never told us to do that. In fact, He says, "Occupy what? Until I come. Occupy, stay busy until I come." Jesus said it in Luke chapter 12. He said, "You also be ready. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." In other words, he's busy. He's about the master's work. He's taking care of business. So being patient and looking for his return doesn't mean we just sit around waiting. We stay busy. But our hearts are firm, they're established, they're looking patiently to Him and not to our circumstances, not to our own understanding of the way that it should be. You know, we heard that testimony. We think, well, this is the way I think it should be, but God has a different plan sometimes. And so are we going to look to Him, or are we going to look to ourselves? Are we going to trust in lean on our own understanding, or are we going to trust in Him and what He has for us, even in this day today? Chapter 5, verse 9, let's look at that last verse there. He says, "Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." Say, I thought he was talking about being patient. Well, he is. But when we become impatient, what do? We start to say stuff, you know, to our spouses, to our kids, to our people we work with, the people who are serving in the place, like, why are you taking so long? What's your problem? The word literally means to sigh and to groan and to murmur. It doesn't even necessarily have to be real loud, but it's like, like that. How long do I got to put up with you? There's no patience in that, is there? Some of you are sighing about the length of this message. I just know it. I just know, how long? Like, is he going to be speaking till Jesus comes back or what? You know, like, oh my goodness. He says, don't grumble against each other or you'll be judged. And he talked about that before, you know, not looking at other people and judging all the stuff they do. He says, you'll be judged. What about us? You know, am I trying my wife's patience? And are we trying other people's patience? Yeah. We think they're the only ones that are, you know, making, you know, they're the only ones causing the problem. You know, it's all their fault that I'm so, you know, that I'm feeling all this, you know, agita. Is that an Italian word?
Yes.
Thank you, Billy. What about us? We grumble about everybody else, but you know, let's look in the mirror and see what am I doing? You know, I was thinking about, you know, I was getting angry about a situation and thinking, you know, why are they doing that? It's just, you know, it's just making me, I'm just going to say something. And then I was thinking about it, I go, you know what? I'm doing that exact same thing with someone else. And I had to like back off. It's like, maybe I better just think about this for a minute. Because the true judge is standing at the door, he says. And that's how close it is. Jesus said, even so, speaking about end times, he says, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. It's right at the door. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness, and he will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Wait. There's this idea of waiting. Paul says it again in this passage. Wait. Wait until the Lord comes. He's going to make it all right. He's going to put the light on the situation. He's going to put it, you know, he's going to put it all right. Wait. Until the Lord comes. Sometimes, you know, we don't even think about it. I'm thinking about myself. You know, there'd be go days when I, days and maybe even longer when I'm not thinking about the Lord coming back. James is saying this is something that should be like every day we're thinking about. Jesus could come back today for me. Jesus, what am I going to be doing? How is he going to find me? Where is he going to see me? What am I going to be doing? What's my life going to be like? If he showed up today, what would he say? Well, we need to be ready. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, he said, do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. He's closer to coming today than he was yesterday when you first became a believer. He's closer. It's getting closer each and every day. He says, the night's nearly over. The day is almost here. It's almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, debauchery, not in dissension, in jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Why? Because our salvation's right here. It's nearly over. The day is nearly here. So how are we supposed to be living? What are we supposed to be doing? Let us behave. It does affect our lives today. There. See? Another warning. Hebrews chapter 10. He says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and get this, and all the more as you see the day approaching. As you see the day approaching, he says, don't give up doing the things you need to do. Encouraging, spurring one another on, encouraging one another, getting together, meeting together. Because the day's coming. Peter said it. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. You know, we need to watch for it. We need to look for it. How are we going to be patient in this life? We need to keep our eyes where they need to be. You know, this has taken like forever, but Jesus is coming back. This is making me insane, but Jesus is coming back. That guy behind me, I'm going to get out of my car and have some road rage. But I really shouldn't do that because Jesus is coming back. It's going to be made right. None of this is really going to matter. That car of his, my car is all going to be smashed into a pancake. John said this in 1 John chapter 2. This is important. 1 John 2:28. New King James Version. He says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That sums it up pretty well. Abide in him, live in him, so that when he comes, we'll have confidence and we will not be ashamed before him at his coming. One more passage on the screen and we'll wrap this up because I can just feel the impatience darting at me from your eyes. Habakkuk, for the revelation awaits an appointed time, and it speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. The last two verses of the Bible, what did it say? It says this. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And John says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Patience. Trusting in him. Having an eye to the sky, you know, having this bigger picture that we have a hope. We have a blessed hope. It's not all just about what's here, really. It's hard to keep that in mind and remember that, but you know what? That's what James is telling us, and that's what all these other guys are telling us to do as well. Amen. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the fact that you will keep us to the end. We confess that we can't do it. I can't do it. I don't have it. I don't have any patience in me. But by your Spirit, you provide fruit, this fruit of the Holy Spirit living in me. as I live and abide and anchor myself in you and in your word, you work. You're changing me. You're making me more patient today than I was yesterday. Still got a ways to go. We all do, but Lord, you're faithful, and in your word, you promised over and over and over again that you're going to come back. You went to prepare a place for us. You're going to come back for us. And we look to you. We remember that. We think about that. Remind us of that, Lord, each and every day, and especially in those times when we're just losing it. Help us, Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray too, before we close, for any that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. None of this makes any sense even without that. You need to give your life to Jesus today. Let him be the Savior and the Lord of your life. All you have to do is open your heart and your life and say, Jesus, please, forgive me of my sin. I receive you. I believe in you today. July 6th, 2025. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, shall we?